BBC News with Ian Purden. Eurozone finance ministers have granted Greece a conditional four-month extension of its international bailout. Speaking after crisis talks in Brussels, the president of the Eurogroup, Jeroen Dijsselbloem, said Greece had pledged to honour all its debt in a timely manner and not to pursue any unilateral measures that might affect its budget targets. Lucy Williamson has more.
This is a very complicated arrangement. The four-month deal was shorter than the Greeks had asked for. They'd asked for 6 months, so there was a compromise there. And also, it's not been rubber-stamped yet. We're told today that the Greek government will have to provide a list of reforms by Monday for the institutions, for the member countries to have a look at. And if all is well, if they're happy with that list of reforms, then it gets rubber-stamped and sent to the national parliaments, all before, of course, the end of the week, when that existing agreement will finish.
The Greek finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, said the deal had proved his government was right to resist austerity.
We averted the view that a country that is heavily indebted and in a program cannot possibly claim that elections can change something. We stood upright from the beginning of the negotiations to the very end.
The president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, has announced that a nationwide curfew imposed last year to combat the Ebola outbreak will be lifted on Sunday. Thomas Fessy reports.
Recent figures show that the transmission of the deadly virus is seriously declining in the country. It's now recording just a handful of new cases every week. Schools slowly began to reopen earlier this week, 6 months after they were closed to try to curb the epidemic. American soldiers have started to go home. Only 100 of them will remain in the country, down from 3,000. Together with Liberia, Guinea and Sierra Leone have pledged to achieve zero Ebola infections within the next 2 months.
The Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has accused a senior Russian official of directing foreign sniper groups who shot and killed protesters during the uprising in Kiev exactly a year ago. The accusation came as Ukrainians gathered to mark the first anniversary of the uprising, in which over 100 people died. David Stern reports.
The proceedings on Kiev's Maidan Square were both an anniversary and commemoration ceremony. A symphony orchestra played Mozart's Requiem, and the city's churches rang their bells for 20 minutes. Petro Poroshenko, Ukraine's president, said the Maidan clashes were the beginning of a battle against what he called Russian aggression. Earlier in the day, he said a top advisor to Russian President Vladimir Putin directed snipers who fired on the activists.
World News from the BBC. United Nations investigators are considering publishing the names of an estimated 200 individuals suspected of committing war crimes in Syria in what would be a radical change of policy. The UN's Independent Commission of Inquiry said there'd been an exponential rise in atrocities. It said not naming suspects would reinforce the impunity of alleged war criminals. A man who was racially abused by a group of Chelsea football fans in Paris and prevented from boarding an underground train says he felt humiliated by the incident. Speaking to the BBC, the man, Suleiman S., who's of Mauritanian descent, said he couldn't believe what had happened and felt deeply wounded. The manager of Chelsea Football Club, José Mourinho, has apologised. The Italian fashion giant Benetton has announced it's to pay compensation into a UN-backed fund for victims of the Rana Plaza factory collapse in Bangladesh in 2013. More than 1,100 people were killed and 2,500 more injured. Charles Haviland reports.
Benetton is one of 29 international brands that sourced their clothes from the four factories at the Rana Plaza. Until now, it's paid some compensation, but through its own channels. Now it's agreed to go through the main trust fund, as some others have already done. The campaigning website, Avaz, set up a petition 9 days ago urging Benetton to compensate. It says that by attracting over 1 million signatures, it prompted Benetton's announcement. A labour rights activist, Said Sultanuddin Ahmed, told the BBC he was glad the Italian company would be giving money, an as yet undisclosed sum, but he said it should have happened much earlier.
Health officials in India are struggling to contain an outbreak of swine flu after the number of cases doubled within a week. More than 11,000 people have the disease, and it's killed over 700 since mid-December. BBC News.